Today on Real Radio.
If you commit a crime, you should die for yourself. The only problem is, this is God, who's being condemned to death because he is God. They kill him for it because they accuse Jesus of committing blasphemy. That's why he died. Do you ever think about why he died? What law did he break?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series of messages we're presenting in commemoration of Passion Week. We're hearing some fascinating messianic prophecies as well as historical facts. Now, some of these prophecies have been fulfilled, others have yet to be fulfilled regarding the Messiah or the Christ of Israel. And we're talking about what many refer to as history's pivot point. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a message simply called the cross.
Jesus says, on the descent, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, which is a bizarro statement. If you don't know who Jesus is, he's announcing, I'm the one who sent Israel since its beginnings, the prophets. That ought to make the skin, not the skin stand up. What's this? The hair on your skin stand up. Jesus is saying, I've sent prophets to Israel since the beginning. This is one of the most tragic few words ever penned. But you were not willing. You didn't give me the time of day. You wouldn't even look. Verse 38, here's another first coming declaration. Behold, your house is left you desolate. He's probably pointing to the temple now at this moment, which is across the Kidron Valley, eighth of a mile away. Verse 39, this is now a second coming statement. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's Psalm 118. You already know that. What's he saying? He's saying, listen, I'm coming. You're shouting it, but you don't even recognize what's going on. You're not even willing to receive the truth of it all. You're all swept up in a moment. Do we not get caught up in the moment? Come on, let's go. Let's get in the streets. Let's get banners. What are we doing? I don't know, but come on. What are we protesting? Who knows, but it's fun. It's a nice day to protest. He's saying, you're all swept up in the moment. You're shouting Hosanna. You're laying your jackets on the ground. You're missing it. Technically, I don't want to get off on another topic, but they're believing half the truth. We want you to conquer Rome. That's what they're really saying. Get this government off our back. That's what they're saying. They didn't want to receive a suffering Savior. That would imply that they have sins. He says, you're not going to see me again until you say, he implies this willingly. No, 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 it's true, it's true. Blessed is he who does come in the name of the Lord. They won't say that. They won't say that till the tribulation period, ladies and gentlemen. Know your Bible carefully. The Jews will not say it. The nation will not say it until the tribulation period is near its end. Then they say it. By the way, the Old Testament tells us he's not going to come. When they say it, he said he's going to let them request it for 3 days, and then he'll come on the third day once they start. Wow. Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, verse 37. Then as he was now drawing near, here's Luke's account, to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is he, or blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Sounds like the Christmas announcement, doesn't it? Verse 39, and some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. What does that mean? Teacher, get them under control. Teacher, zip their lips. Make them shut it. Wouldn't you love to have been there at this moment? Josephus tells us that there's some hundred, he estimates there's some 100,000 people on the slope shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna! Palm branches, amazing moment. Jesus is on the back of a donkey. The crowd's gone crazy. And the Pharisees, leave it to those guys. How do they get the best seat to everything? But they're there. And they shout from the crowd, shut your disciples up. Why? Why would they say that? You can't blame them totally. They're trying to defend their view of whatever they're trying to defend, and that is certainly this, that if Jesus is not God in the flesh, then they're saying, have your disciples stop committing blasphemy. You guys all get that? Jesus, they're attributing you with messianic psalms. Zechariah 9:9, on a donkey. Come on! All these people shouting, Hosanna! All, that's all reserved for the Messiah, Jesus. You make your disciples zip it. I'd love his answer. He says to them, verse 40, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. You think he's joking? I personally believe, I can't prove it, it's just speculation. It's fun, though. If Jesus would have went, shh, whoa, shh, I believe there would have been an earthquake. Because I think a rock talking would be like, it's like an earthquake. You know? Jesus is God. Jesus is the Lord. And the little rocks, Jesus is God. Little pebbles, Jesus is Lord. There would have been this incredible rock concert of proclamation about him. So he goes on. This is an amazing moment. It says that now as he drew near, this is amazing. As he drew near, the word means in the Greek to present yourself. He drew near to present himself. Ladies and gentlemen, he's not like, look, he's not in the back of the donkey like, oh, you know, I don't need all this. This is the first time Jesus ever did this in his entire life. The word means that he sits upon the donkey in full acceptance. It means, the word here means he presents himself to the nation. This is it. This is it. This is the fulfillment. He saw the city and he wept over it. Now, this is amazing. Listen to this. The word here, weep, means to heave the chest, to his lungs, the crying. This is hard for us to fathom. The crying of Jesus going down that path, looking at the city, while everyone's shouting, Hosanna, save now, this is an awesome moment, somebody, this is fantastic. Jesus starts to cry so heavily that his chest is heaving, is the word, and the word means to bemoan or a great lamentation. He's the only one crying in the crowd. Isn't this weird? Why? He tells you why. Verse 42, if you had known, everybody listen, ladies and gentlemen. This is dead serious language here. This is his demand. Why didn't you know? You should have clicked. You should have got a book. You should have studied history. It was all available to you, Israel. You should have known. Even you, especially in this day, the day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you, years and years and years, think of it, millennia of holocausts, when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and close you in on every side and level you and your children within you. Has that not been the plight of the Jews? To the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another. Somebody, I'm making this up now. Somebody might from the crowd shout, Jesus, why? Why would you allow such a thing? He answers, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Everything about this statement is an indictment. You could have known, you rejected. You had the opportunity, you refused. It was there for you to know, and you were too busy. Instagramming, tweeting, Facebooking, Downton Abbeying. You just never took the time to find out what my word had to say. You spent all your time doing that other stuff, and I gave you the chance to know, and you didn't know. You missed it. Don't tell me it doesn't matter about knowing the word of God. Jesus said, every jot, every tittle, that's a hyphen and comma of the Hebrew language, God will fulfill. So listen, he says that the problem is because you missed my word, you missed the day of your visitation. Okay? Turn to the book of Daniel chapter 9, and this is where we end. Palm Sunday, as it relates to Daniel chapter 9, is the holy of holies of Bible prophecy. I had my good friend Dr. Ed Heinzen tell me that Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, is the most important portion of Scripture in the entire Bible because it brings everything together. Ladies and gentlemen, as you're turning to Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27 specifically, it is so exact and accurate that there are critics of the Bible. They're all gone away now. They all were disproven and ran away with their tail between their legs. But for the last couple hundred years, they would make fun of the book of Daniel because they said it was so exact and so perfect it couldn't have been written so long ago. Out of their own mouths, they wound up defeating themselves when the Dead Sea Scrolls and all the others were discovered. And as history plays out, Daniel 9, verses 24 to 27, but just for context, go to verse 22. And he, that's the angel speaking to Daniel, informed me and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel. Oh, by the way, as we read this, all the Jews during Jesus' day, all of them had this book, the same one you're reading right now, in your lap. They had it. Daniel, they know this. Jesus is going to hold them accountable for not knowing this, what you're having on your lap. Oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to what? Understand, at the beginning of your supplications, your prayers, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. Verse 24. You guys, because of time's sake, I'm going to ask you to listen, but write this down, and then you go search, okay? Is that okay? Number one, you see where it says 70 weeks? In Hebrew, it's 490. Just write down 490. That's all you 490 minutes, 490 hours, 490 weeks, 490 years. What is it? Just write down 490. Are determined for your people and for your holy city. Well, who's Daniel's people? What's the holy city? Jews and the Jerusalem. Number one, first coming, Jesus is about to perform this. Finish the transgression. He's going to die for our sins, ladies and gentlemen. Also this happened at his first coming, 2,000 years ago, to make an end of sins. This also happened at his first coming, to make reconciliation for iniquity. He's our high priest. This next part hasn't happened yet. This is at his second coming, to bring in everlasting righteousness. That's not yet happened. Also, this has not yet happened, to seal up vision and prophecy. That's yet to come. Thirdly, this has not yet happened, to anoint the most holy. That is to usher in eternity. Verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks. In English, it's 7 weeks. Just write down the word 49 or the number 49. Before we go any further, keep this in mind right now. The going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem was March 14th, 445 BC. All the Jews knew this in Jesus' day. King Artaxerxes gave to one of his captives / attendants a guy by the name of Nehemiah. Remember him? He said, why are you so sad? What's the matter with you? He said he was the king's cupbearer. Imagine that. He sipped and drank everything the king was about to drink or eat. So if it was poison, he'd drop dead before the king. That's how much the king trusted him. Kind of a weird relationship, personally, but anyway. I love you so much, you can drink my poison wine. But he said, why are you so sad? And he goes, how can I be happy? My city, Jerusalem, is laid in waste. The gates are burned with fire, and the walls are in ruin. The streets are broken up. And King Artaxerxes says, I want to make you happy. I tell you what, here's a letter, blank check, and a passport. From my realm to Jerusalem, you go back there and you restore all that stuff. Did you know, listen, it's recorded. I was with Jacob Prosh, and Lisa and I were with Jacob Prosh at the museum, the British Museum in London, and we go through the empires of antiquity, and there's the data, there's the record of King Artaxerxes of Nehemiah's day, and the record of the command, March 14th, 445 BC. He writes a note to Nehemiah, and he says, you can go back to Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, it's right here in the Bible, as well as secular history. Are you an atheist today? Just listen carefully. Because you're going to have to choose to be an atheist, not because of intellectual lack. It's because of some sort of persuasion, some sort of prejudice you have in your heart. It has nothing to do with what you can know. So listen, to make it very quick, but to the point, he says this, that from the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the coming of the Messiah, the Prince, there shall be, now watch, there's sections, there shall be 49 plus 62, all of these are 62 sevens, 49 sevens, seven sevens, it's in sevens. If you put 49 and the 434 together, you come up with 483. You say, well, so what? I agree, it's so what? From March 14th, 445 BC, if you put the math together recorded here in Daniel, you come to the number 483. So 490 years, God says, I'm going to deal specifically. You'll find out in your study, it's years. I'm going to deal with Israel. They owe me 490 specific years for ditching me on the Sabbath they didn't keep. So I'm going to get it back. Here's the deal. I'm going to deal with you guys in segments. First part, 49. Then 434. And he begins to march through it. You can take the time to do that later. And you come to 483. From March 14th, 445, you count 483 years from that day. It's 173,880 days. You say, Jack, my calculator says that's not right. It's because your calculator counts 365 days in a year. That's pagan. From Genesis to Revelation, your calendar in your Bible is 360 days. Sir Robert Anderson and Sir Isaac Newton did the work on this. It's remarkable. 173,800 days from March 14th, 445 BC is 483 years. It brings you to April 6, 32 AD. April 6, 32 AD. So what about it? It says, verse 26, and after the 62 weeks, that is the collective 483 years, the Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Well, that's interesting. The word means the Messiah is going to be killed for committing a capital offense. The Messiah of God is going to be guilty of a crime, according to people. And he's going to die, but he's not going to die for himself. Oh, no, wait a minute. If you commit a crime, you should die for yourself. The only problem is this is God, who's being condemned to death because he is God. They kill him for it because they accuse Jesus of committing blasphemy. That's why he died. Do you ever think about why he died? What law did he break? They weren't willing to accept his message, so they killed him. By the way, if you're not willing to accept his message, you're trying to kill him. You want him dead. You want him in the grave. You can't have him be resurrected. Well, that's too late. It's like toothpaste out of the tube, my friend. Jesus is out. And you're not going to put him back. March 14th, 445 BC, 173,880 days equals 483 years. Brings you to March or April 6, 32 AD. It's Palm Sunday, Sunday, April 6, 32 AD, the day Jesus is riding on the back of a donkey. And he says, you, if you had only known this your day, but you would not, you were no willing. They were supposed to know the day of his arrival. Did you know that? That's a fact. That's a scientific fact of the Bible. Are you going to tell me you don't believe in God? What is wrong with you? Seriously, what is wrong with you? Literally. God says, you can find me on April 6, 32 AD. This is how. bunch of people are going to be shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Oh, and you know what? They're going to lay down palm branches on the ground. Oh, and another thing. He's going to be riding a donkey. It'd be 173,880 days from March 14th, 445 BC. When you wake up that morning, I want you to shout with joy and rejoice, for behold, your king comes to you. And every Jew should have got up that morning, because they had scriptures all around the world. They should have got up and said, Sonny, get up, my little prince and my little queen, put on your clothes. The Messiah comes today. If you think I'm stretching it, the book of Daniel chapter 12 tells you exactly when he's going to come in the second coming. Not the rapture. No man knows the day or the hour. But they won't start counting until the day of the Antichrist, when he stands to declare himself as God in the temple. And then the Bible says, start counting. Isn't it interesting that no man knows the day or the hour? And that is true regarding the church, because Jesus could come at any second and rapture us out of here. But isn't it interesting that when he speaks to Israel, he tells them in clear, undeniable, irrefutable terms, I'm going to come at a certain time. I'm going to give you my word. You better know it, because when I come, you should recognize me. And if you don't, it's going to bring Holocaust upon your head. So be ready. This day in history begins Passion Week. And I tell you what, if you're an atheist today, I want you to tell me irrefutable, undeniable reasons why you're an atheist. I don't want your emotions. I don't want what you feel and how you felt when you were 9 years old. I don't want to hear that. I want you to give me undeniable, irrefutable facts, like I just gave you, that 173,880 days from March 14th, 445 BC, we are celebrating today, April 6, 32 AD, when Jesus Christ presented himself as king to the nation of Israel. It was all in the book. He did it, and it's a historical fact. Why are you not a believer? What are you hiding behind?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a presentation simply called The Cross. It's part of Pastor Jack's series we're presenting in commemoration of Passion Week, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, Pastor Jack, let me just throw this out there real quick. Easter Sunday is right around the corner. It should be the most celebrated time for a Christian.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, it's our day, everybody.
Yeah, I love that.
There is no Supreme Court that's going to change it. There is no elected official. There is no tyrannical despot that can change this. This is our day. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And Davey, what we would like to do is extend an invitation. If you're somewhat local here in Southern California, if you live in the LA Orange County area, we, number one, want to encourage you to attend a Bible teaching church in your area. If you're not familiar with that, or if you'd like to maybe go through the service with us, then you can join us online as we'll stream it live.
Yeah.
We'll do that for Good Friday and Resurrection service. And you can do that by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and you can click on right there, watch Pastor Jack live. We'd love to have you guys. And then also keep this in mind, Good Friday services are going to be at 5 o'clock in the evening and 7 o'clock. We've got two services that night. Communion's going to be served. And again, if you're in the area, come and be with us. If not, if you're outside the LA Orange County area, then we'll be streaming live to you. And, you know, you can join us. Imagine that. You can have communion with us right in the living room of your friends and family there. And then Resurrection Sunday morning, Easter service, 6 a.m., 8 a.m., 10 a.m., 12 noon. Four services for you to pick from. And again, go to a Bible teaching church in your neighborhood. But if you're not aware of any, then you can make the drive if you live in the LA Orange County area or outside the area. You can join us as we stream it live to you by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on Watch Pastor Jack Live. I'd love to have you, but actually more than that, we'd love to have you attend a Bible teaching church in your area.
And that's for Good Friday and for Easter Sunday morning, right?
Absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.